Rabbi said today, this sugi is the culmination really of what we've learned the last couple of weeks. The siyata d'shmaya should be much easier. First of all, going forward is going to be much easier. But this sugi will be much easier to swallow after we have what we had till now. The Mishnah brings down here machlekes in the Kivin Rabbi Elazar as far as halacha of Be'ilah B'yotze. The Mishnah says, this whole Mishnah is talking about where the Yitziah, where the meat went out before the Zrika. So we'll start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Basar Kodshe Kadoshi, She Yotso Lifnei Zrika's Domi. If the Basar Kodshe Kodshe went out before the Zrika's Domi, Rebbe Lezer says, Moyel and Bar. There's still a din of Me'ilah. Why is there a din of Me'ilah? Because since it became possible. Pasha teaches that since it became possible, so Me'ilah, the Zrika doesn't do anything for it. Once it goes out, it becomes possible. So Zrika doesn't help. So it's like no Zrika happened. So therefore, there's still a din of Me'ilah that was here before, pre-existing. Ve'ein chayov in olav mishum pigal noisa v'tome, because to be chayov pigal noisa v'tome, you need to have Zrika. And there has been no Zrika. Because since it was Yotzi, it's as though there was no Zrika. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, no, ain't my Alan boy. There is no din of Me'ilah. The Chiyov and Olav Mishum Pigul the Noise of the Tom. And you are Chayev for Pigul Noise of the Tom. Okay, so Rabbi Kiva now really has the one, the onus of proof is on him. Because Rabbi Lazar is saying a very partial swara. Once the meat went out, it became possible. So now the Zrika doesn't do anything. It's like no Zrika happened. So then why should the Zrika affect the status of the carbon? So Rabbi Kiva has to come with a raya. So Rabbi Kiva brings the following raya. Omer Rabbi Kiva, Harei ha-mafrish chatosoi v'ovdo. Somebody used mafrish a carbon chatos, and he lost it. So now he was mafrish v'ifish acheres tachteho. So he was mafrish another chatos. V'achkach nimtzei sorishon. Now he finds the first chatos. Okay? So now only one of these two is kosher. The other one will have a din of a moiser chatos. And a moiser chatos is a lemisa ozer. Right? So only one of these two is roy for a karma chatos. So what happened now? Since they're both here, right now, as it stands today, since each one is roy to be a chatos, so there's me'ilah on both of them. Now what happens if you shechted them? You shechted the two of them. Now the assumption is the din me'ilah would remain. The din me'ilah doesn't change. It's like any kachin that become possible, there's still a din of me'ilah. But now if you spritz the blood, Rabbi Kiva makes the assumption that the din me'ilah will fall off. Not only from the one that you spritz the blood for, but even the other one. So Bekiv is making an analogy, just like if you have two chatois, even though the extra one is going to be possible. See, he's equating the extra one to the yotzeh. So, still the blood that you're spritzing for chatos A will make the me'ilah go off from chatos B, even though chatos B is possible, because it's a moiser chatos. It's an extra chatos, which becomes possible. By definition, a moiser chatos is possible. So the Yotzei should be the same thing. Yotzei should be the same. The equation is a little difficult. Actually, more than a little difficult. Because we'll see why, but this is his equation. And he even makes it into like a Kal V'chomer. He says, Loi k'shem shadoma poiter es besar. Don't you agree that the blood that you spritz for chatas e, which is your real chatas, will also remove the din me'ilah from chatas B, which is the moiser chatas. Kachu poiter is besar chaveret. It also will get rid of the din me'ilah off the extra carbon. In potar domo is besar chaveret, and a me'ilah, if it could take off even the blood of the besar chaveret, that means another behem. Dinu sheyiftor es besar atzmi. So surely by yotzei, surely it should remove the din of me'ilah from the part of the meat that left the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Rabbi Kiva's... Now, l'chayr, Rabbi Kiva's analogy, very difficult to understand. He's making a Kal V'Chomer, but the Kal V'Chomer clearly doesn't logically work, because it's obvious that when you do Zrika on Chatas A, it's not working for Chatas B. So for whatever reason, there's no din of Me'ila, it's not because this Zrika worked for that. That you can't say. Rabbi Akiva is going all the way to a far-fetched case. He's saying, if it works over there, this Zrika surely works over here. The flaw, what would seem in this logic, is that it's so distant of a case that there's no analogy. There's no comparison. Because obviously that's not working with the concept that the Zrika is doing it. Because the Zrika of the blood of Chatas A has nothing to do with Chatas B. And if the Din Me'ila does fall off from Chatas B because of the Zrika of A, it's obviously by default. It's not because the Zrika is what's doing it. It's some other explanation why the Me'ila falls off. So what's the Bekiva's analogy? Bekiva's making an analogy. He's saying, just like over there, there's no din of Me'ila. So who I did, if part of the korban's meat goes out, there should also be no din of Me'ila. What's the shaykhus? What's the connection? And if there's no din Me'ila by Chatas B over there, the only explanation that we could possibly give is we could say that once you complete the avodah on Chatas A, Chatas B becomes irrelevant. So its irrelevance deems it out of the parish of Me'ila. Right? It becomes irrelevant. But it's not because the Zrika of animal A is working for animal B. That can't be. It's two different carbonates. So the Kiva is saying, Kol Shekein, if by Chatas A, when you do the Zrika from carbon A, the Me'ila falls off from carbon B, so surely if the two are much closely related, it's just that this meat went outside, surely it should be affected by this Zrika. And the question is, the Kal V'Chomer itself is flawed, because it's obvious that if the Me'ila falls off from Chatas B, it's not because the Zrika worked for Chatas B, it's because once the Zrika is completed, then Chatas B becomes irrelevant. We still don't know why the Me'ila goes off, but that has to be the line of thinking. The line of reasoning has to be that Chatas B becomes irrelevant enough, just like we have Kachim Shemesu, Yotzim Midei Me'ila, they become irrelevant, right? If you have Kachim that died without Shechita, we said the Me'ila falls off. That was the whole sugi we had at the beginning of the Masechta, that you would think whenever Kachim become possible, they become like Kachim Shemesu, which go out of Me'ila Midaraisa. Obviously, if the Chatas B, there's no din of Me'ila, after you do Zrika to Chatas A, it's obviously because Chatas B becomes, whatever level, irrelevant. That won't explain why Yotzeh, why there should be no din of Me'ila by Yotzeh. What's the Shaykhs? But this is Rabbi Akiva's analogy. Now the Mishnah repeats the same thing by Kachim Kalam. Emurim Kachim Kalam, she Yotzeh with Nezrika's Domi. Rebbe Lezer Oimer Ein Mayalim Bohem. Rebbe Lezer says there's no din of Me'ila, ve'ein chayov na'alehem. Mishim pigol noisim v'tomei. And you're not chayov for pigol noisim v'tomei. Rebbe Akiva Oimer Mayalim Bohem. There is a din of Me'ila, because obviously the Zrika works. V'chayovin alehem mishim pigol noisim v'tomei. So basically it's one machloikis in the Mishnah, which we'll see in the Gemara why we needed two cases, both by Kachi Kedoshim and Kachim Kalam. One machloikis, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Zrika is effective, even though the meat went out. And according to Rabbi Lezer, the Zrika is not effective. And Rabbi Akiva, for some reason, the Sefer doesn't repeat the concept of two chatois, which the Sfasemis holds that in the Sefer he doesn't need it. We'll see, the Sfasemis has a svara why he holds in the Sefer, Rabbi Akiva doesn't even need his analogy to chatois. But Rabbi Akiva's main raya is from the case where you have two korbanos chatois, both were shechted. Now there's a din me'ila on both of them, and the zrika of carbon A will take off me'ila from carbon B. And mele, if it works even to take off the me'ila from carbon B, surely you'll take off me'ila from carbon A, where just part of the meat went outside of the basin. That's it. So we're going to go into the Gemara, but first let's see the Sikkum HaSugya, where the Gemara just builds what this case of Rabbi Akiva is. Because the case where you have two chatois, so let's not forget, over there, Moisa chatas is lemisa as possible. Whichever one is called the extra chatas goes out lemisa. How do we decide which one is the moisa? Galoch is rotza bezemiskape. Rotza bezemiskape. You could use either one. Right? If they're both standing here, you could use either chatas. So really, whichever one you do first, that becomes the chatas. The other one becomes the moisa chatas. So the Gemara builds that the whole case of Rabbi Akiva is when you actually shechted the two together. You have two kohanim. Simultaneously, they shechted these two chatois. So now the zrika becomes the defining moment. Because the shechita would have been. The shechita would have defined which one is the main chatas. But they were shechted together. You had two chatois. Each one was able to be brought as a korban chatas. Individually, independently. But my said they were shechted together. So let's look at the Gemara first at this point. Omar Abba Kiva, Zion and Aleph by the two guys. Then we'll get back to this tomorrow. The Gemara says, Omar Abba Kiva, Holomazer Doim, Omar Abba Lezer, Ki Omar Abba Kiva, Bivas Achas. Rabbi Kiva is talking about a case where they were shechted together. That's the case. And the Mefarish says it, the Farish, El Sheshochak Shneim Bivas Achas. He says, "Kegoni sheshochtu mishnei kohanim ka'achas." The lo kodma shchita shel achas lechaver. So Rashi adds one point here. Rashi says, "The kechad gufa doma." Interesting Rashi. Rashi says at that point, when you shecht the two chatois at the same time, they become like one korban. That's what Rashi says. Even though it's obvious, only one of them could be used. But Rashi is obviously trying to begin to explain to us what Rabbi Akiva's analogy is. Because as I told you in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva seems to make an analogy that doesn't work. Because Rabbi Akiva is making an analogy from a case where you have two separate korbanos, and the din me'ilah of each korban is totally independent, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that the zrika of korban A is working, is activating or deactivating me'ilah from korban B. By Yotzei at least, it's plausible. By Yotzei, you could say it's one carbon. Happens to be that this meat is possible. But it's one carbon. So we could say the Zrika deactivates the meal. Maybe, maybe not. But by two carbonas, you definitely can't say that the Zrika of one carbon activates or deactivates the meal of carbon two. That was the whole problem with Rabbi Akiva's analogy. So Rashi is trying here indirectly to answer our question. He's saying, the Gemara is talking about a case, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva is talking about, where you shechted the two chatois together at the same moment, and therefore they're both roi for kapara. Rashi therefore calls it kechad gufa. It's like one body. Because they were shechted together, they got married. It's like, now even though it's still not clear, because it's obvious that shechting the two karbonos together don't make it one carbon, still only one of them is going to be kosher. But we'll see, we're beginning to see a light. Rashi is saying, since you shechted them at the same time, each one independently could have been a korban chatas. And now they're shechted, and they were shechted at the same time, and either one could still be kosher. So there's a relationship now between these two korbanos. And therefore Rashi says it's kechad gufa. He doesn't say chad korban, it's like chad gufa. No, Rashi says clearly, the shechita happened together. That's how Rashi learned. The others will learn that it just means before the zrika. Yeah. Which really doesn't necessarily mean that that's a different way than Rashi. It's just a different way of associating the two korbanos. Rashi goes to such an extreme that the only way for them to be associated is that the shechita happened together. So this is what Rashi says. All I'm saying is Rashi is, without this, the Mishnah is like a medrash plea. Rabbi Akiva is going from two things of no shaykhus at all. Now we see a little bit of a light. We still don't know the mechanism of it. We see some kind of a light. So let's just finish this off. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon, Tanya, Abu Bazach Hazeh, Loyom Rabbi Akiva. But Bazach Hazeh, Rabbi Akiva would agree that the zrika of one chatas doesn't affect the other chatas. If it happened, you shechted it one after the other. Because then it's two separate things. This is Moisa Chatas. This is an extra Chatas. This has nothing. It's already been defined as an extra Chatas from the time that you shechted it. Nothing to talk about. That's Rashi says. So the Gemara comes, the Gemara says, Tani Omar Rav Shimon, Kisholachti L'Kfar Pagi, when I went to Kfar Pagi, Mitzuni Zokin Echad, I found a Zokin, for Omar Lee, he told me, Oima Oye Rav Akiva, Zrika Mo'elas L'Yaisa, I heard that Rav Akiva holds, that Zrika works even for something which goes out. Omar Ki Loi Hei, I told him yes. Shebosi, V'Tzesi, Borom, L'Fnei Chaverai, Shebegoli, and when I went and told this to my friends in the Golan, Omuli, what do you mean? Haloi posel who? Posel. Heich miratz al apostle. How could the Zrika work on something which is posel? Ukshi atzasi, virtesi, born with me, Rabbi Kiva. When I went back to Rabbi Kiva and asked him about this, about his shita, Omali bini, he said, what do you mean? How could anybody argue with what I said? And again, he makes the same analogy. You don't say this way. If somebody was mafrish his chafas and it got worse, the hifrish acheres tachteh, achakach nimtzei sovishena, case of the Mishnah, pareishtein omdois, moal nimtzein, shochton, if you shechted both of them, pareidomon munach bekoises, and now you have the blood, again, moal nimtzein, there's a demilim both. Chatoz nizrak dam shalecha min iata moide shekashem shadoma poteres besorah min amiila af yiftos besar chaverta min amiila. Don't you agree that the blood pops im hitzul besar chaverta min amiila af al pishu posul dinu sheyatzil es besor? Surely it should be masul bas. Okay, so this is what the Gemara says. Now Rish Lakish takes issue with this. So we thought that this was Givaldic. Now we begin to understand Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is making an analogy where the Moisa Chatas turned really into one type of carbon. Since you shechted them together, became like one big carbon. It's like you have one big piece of meat, and now part of it you can't use. The extra one you can't use, just like the meat that went out can't be used. And now when you spritz the blood for carbon A, for this bame also leaves meat. Even though it's like one meat, part of it is roy and part of it is not roy. Rish Lakish says, no. Shuvah genuvah yeshiva Rabbi Kiva lo setan. He says, I disagree with this. Now what's his point? L'chayr Rish Lakish is screaming what we were screaming. In different words. Rish Lakish is saying, who cares if it happens b'azachas, if it happens b'zachazer? What's the difference? The meilah should go off anyway. By default, becomes a moist v'chatas, the meilah should fall off. He says, tshuva genuva yeshiva Rabbi Kiva lo yisaitam. Rabbi Kiva gave a tshuva genuva. He stolen teretz, he schwindled. Because, v'vashachas in, v'zachas eloi. The kivon, the posulu, the bottom line is, the second chatas is posul. It's not like the second chatas is kosher. The second chatas is posul. Whether you shecht it together, whether you shecht it v'zachas eloi, it's posul. Mali b'vasachas, mali b'zachazah. What's the difference? Once, if you're going to tell me that the blood somehow, once you spritz the blood of chatas A, the meat of basar B becomes permitted from me'ila, it won't make a difference. What's the difference if it happened together b'zachazah? What does Rish Lakish mean to say? Rish Lakish means to say exactly what we're saying. The second carbon, the reason why there's no me'ila on the second carbon is because it's possible. And therefore, it's irrelevant. Why are you making believe? You're trying to make believe that the zrika from carbon A is somehow taking off meila from carbon B. And you did that in a... That's when he says Rabbi Kiva schwindled. What does he mean Rabbi Kiva schwindled? Rish Lakish doesn't seem to call Rabbi Kiva schwindled because he comes in and he goes, Rabbi Kiva told the Talmud that it's only if you shechted them together. I hold that even if you shechted one after the other. Why does that make Rabbi Kiva into schwindling? You're just broadening Rabbi Kiva's tethers. You follow what I'm saying? Rabbi Kiva came in the Mishnah and he said a very simple thing. He said, Zrika works even for meat that went outside of the base of meat. That was his, psak is simple. That's his psak. His mocker to that psak is two chatois. Just like you find by two chatois, If you spritz the blood from one chatas, the other chatas also the me'ila goes off. So similarly, by yotzei, when you do zrika on the carbon, even the meat that went out should also be affected by the zrika. So now we have a whole debate, what's Rabbi Akiva's case of the two chatas? Is it only if they were shechted together? Or is it even if you shechted one after the other? So now Ishvokish comes and he goes, Rabbi Akiva is trying to make it out like there's a difference between if you shechted the two chatas together, or you shechted them one after the other. He says, he's a schwindler. That's a schwindler guy. There's no difference. Either way, it's possible. The second one is possible. Either way. Why is Rabbi Akiva schwindler? So you're basically saying, you know what, Rabbi Akiva, your answer can even be broader.
Still no deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is Rish Lakish calling Rabbi Akiva a schwindler? He could say, Rabbi Akiva, you're being a little bit too dachistic. What do you mean so dachistic, Rabbi Akiva? A schwindler means you don't really have a test. Shuva Genuva means you don't have an answer. Okay? Your answer is not an answer. L'chaira is a way when you read the Gemara simply, Rabbi Akiva has a good answer anyway. Rabbi Akiva was just saying that just like you see by two chatoris, you have chatos A and chatos B. One of them is not roy. Can't have two chatoris. One of them is not roy. If you do zrika on one, the me'ilo falls off the other. So who are din by yotzei? You have this piece of meat is no good. Just like the extra chatos is no good. The zrika that you do inside will take off me'ilo from there. Okay. Now we have a different debate. Is Rabbi Akiva talking about the two chatoris meshechta together? Or they meshechta bezachazim? Okay. That's a different issue. So now Rabbi Akiva says, the fact that Rabbi Akiva said that this is talking about yeshechta them together, that shows he was giving a shvindel, his teretz, the whole teretz is a shvindel. What's a shvindel? He's not making litzonos. Shuva genuva, let's get something straight. Shuva genuva is not commonly used. I don't think you've seen that a lot in Chazal, that lashon. Shuva genuva means it's a stolen teretz. It's not wrong. It's not buki sriki. It's not, you know, domi hai rabbonet legom ha-shmaitzim yomei. It's a shvindel rai. This is not a teretz. You're trying to, you make a difference between vasachas. Really, vasachas and zachas has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva, really. That's a side issue. Does the zrika of the chatas A remove the din me'ila from chatas B only if they were shechted together? Or does he even remove it if they were shechted one after the other? That's a technicality. That l'chor is not the root of the teretz of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was just saying, we see that zrika works on something that's not roy. You could do zrika from this, and it'll patter up me'ila from something that's not roy. What's the problem? But I'm explaining to you what Rish Lakish is saying. What Rish Lakish is saying is that really, Rabbi Akiva has no analogy at all, like we said from the beginning. Rabbi Akiva's analogy to begin with is a problem. Because Rabbi Akiva's analogy from step one doesn't make a shaykhah. There's no shaykhahs between these two cases. Because the case of our Mishnah is a case where it's one carbon, and you want to use the zrika to remove the me'ilah from the other meat. And the case of the two chatois, if there's no me'ilah, it's because it became possible, or whatever. By Rabbi Akiva saying it's only if it happens by vasachas, Rabbi Akiva is making it relative to our Mishnah. It's a zrika that is being effective. On that, Rish Lakish goes, it's a tshuva genuva. Rabbi Akiva is trying to make it sound like the reason why the zrika from A, chatas A, takes off the me'ila from B is because they're connected, even though this one is no good. And now he had a good analogy to yotzei. But now if we're going to say there's no difference, if it was bezachar zeh b'vasachas, that means the reason why there's no me'ila on chatas B is not because the zrika of chatas A is removing me'ila from B, then the whole teretz of Rabbi Akiva is a tshuva genuva. Then the whole thing doesn't work. So that would be an explanation why Rish Lakish is talking this way. We don't assume nothing. We have a machlokes tanoim. Rebbe Elazar says that once something becomes posel yotzei, the me'ila status becomes frozen. Right? According to Rebbe Elazar, once something becomes posel, the zrika can't affect it. That's Rebbe Elazar's shita. Rebbe Akiva holds no, even if it becomes posel, the zrika could still affect me'ila, either bring me'ila or take away me'ila. The zrika is still working. Rebbe Akiva is making analogy to chatois. Where over there you see Zrika from one can take care of the posel chatos too. That's Rabbi Akiva's whole analogy. Now the Gemara is debating on the whole analogy of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva's analogy only works if the reason why there's no me'ila on chatos B is because the Zrika of chatos A is removing the me'ila of chatos B. But if the reason why there's no me'ila on chatos B is just because it's posel, then the whole analogy is not an analogy. And that's the debate in our sugyan. Rabbi Yechonon now comes and he answers Reish Lakish's question. Rabbi Yechonon comes in and he says no, and he brings another example and he proves that yes, Rabbi Akiva is right. There is a difference between Vasachas and Vizachas. But my point is that this is the punchline of Rabbi Akiva. Is that Rabbi Akiva is trying to say that there's an association between these two chatois, and that the Zrika of the Chatas A is affecting Chatas B. It's not just that the Zrika of Chatas A is happening and grad the Chatas B now is becoming possible. No. Chatas B is directly being impacted by the Zrika of Chatas A. And we have to know why. But that's clearly what Rabbi Akiva is saying. And that's what we're accomplishing by saying that the Shechitas will happen together rather than Bezachas A. That's clearly the way it reads. Now we'll go back to the Gemara, the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'hani tarti lomul." Why do I need these two cases? The Mishnah gave us two cases: kotchi kadoshim and kotchim kalim. So let's remind ourselves: kotchi kadoshim, the zrika removes the meal, correct? Kotchim kalim, the zrika brings the meal, okay? Because by kotchi kadoshim, there's full meila until zrika. After Zrika, the part that you eat, the Mila goes off, and the part that goes on the Mizbeach, the Mila remains. By Kotchim Kalim, there's no Mila before, and there's only Mila Chal after Zrika, on the Emurim, on the part that goes on the Mizbeach, and the part that's eaten, there's not Mila before Zrika, and there's not Mila after Zrika. So Zrika by Kotchim Kalim introduces Mila, and Zrika by Kotchim Kadoshim removes Mila. So the Gemara now wants to know, why do we need both cases? If the main issue of our Mishnah is that, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Zrika works, and according to Rabbi Elazar, the Zrika doesn't work, why do we need both cases? So the Gemara says, "Vani tati loma." What do I need it for? Says the Gemara Tzrich. The Yitma b'kotshe kadoshim ava amine b'hoko omar Rabbi Elazar moyalim bo. By kotshe kadoshim, we understand not that Rabbi Elazar holds that the Zrika is ineffective, but he holds that it's not good enough to be Mekel. It's not good enough of a Zrika that you're going to remove the Me'ila. Mishum the Zrika ketikna mafka midei Me'ila. Only a proper Zrika will remove Me'ila. Shaloi ketikna loy mafka midei Me'ila. But if you're going to do a Zrika that's not good, so then that won't remove Me'ila. Avol asuye lidei Me'ila, but to bring on Me'ila, there, moide le Rabbi Akiva. There is moide to Rabbi Akiva. There is moide the afilu sheloi ketikno maisi lidei mila. Even a zrike that's not good will bring on mila. So that's why we need the case of Kotchim Kalim. Because by Kotchim Kalim, perhaps Rabbi Elazar would agree to Rabbi Akiva. The Yitma Gabi Kotchim Kalim, then we have the opposite. Could be Rabbi Akiva only saying it as a chumrah. Hava mina gabi kotchim kalim udomer Rabbi Akiva moilim bohem daafilu zrika shaloi ketikna maisi lidei meila. Even a zrika that's not proper could bring meila, because there it's a chumrah. So to introduce meila, any kind of zrika is sufficient. But avul kotchim kadoshim. But when you're dealing with kotchim kadoshim, where you're trying to remove meila, the laafukehu, then shaloi ketikna loy mafka midei meila. Then it won't remove meila. Kamash malah. Now this logic that the Gemara throws in both directions, like it's Ashrei Yoshvei, it's such simple logic, it's not simple at all. Because the root is still the same question. Does Zrika work on something which is possible? And the answer has to be yes or no. It's not a Kula Chumra thing here. You know, but the Gemara throws that out. We have to see why the Gemara holds that it's more logical to go in one way than the other way. In fact, earlier we had as far the opposite. That maybe you need a proper Zrika to introduce Mila, and even an improper Zrika could take off to the meal. And there's strong logic to that too. Yeah. So we actually use the logic the opposite.
which is Tosfos Kash. Says the Gemara, Itma, Omar Rabbi Yechonon, Ki Omar Rabbi Kiva, Zerika Moelos Liyotze. Now this is completely a pella. When does Rabbi Kiva say that Zerika works? That's only Sheyotza Miktsosa. Only part of the korban went out of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay? Meaning, you have a korban. So let's assume here you have a korban, 20 pounds. We'll just give a weight, we'll be prust. 20 pound korban. So when does Rabbi Kiva say that the Zrika works? Well, you have 10 pounds outside and 10 pounds inside. So then, if you do Zrika, then it works even for the 10 pounds that went outside. But if the whole 20 pound mass went out, then the Zrika won't work. It says, Ki Yom Rabbi Kiva Zrika Mo'elos Liyotze Shiyotze Miktsosa. Avol Yotze Kula Eloi. But if it all went out, then Avada not. Now, this, what does this mean? What kind of svara is that? What does this mean? So Tosfos comes, and he throws out a terminology that we use in Bava Metzia. There's very little Tosfos here. Ki Omer Rabbi Kiva Zrika Mo'elos, the one line Tosfos. Liyotze Shiyotze Miktsosa. The second to the last Tosfos on the page, the one liner. The migu, the bahani zrika laha de gavoi, ahane nami lahai davroi. Fascinating Tosfos. Migu. Who ever heard of this? What kind of migu is that? That's possible. The part that's out is possible. Either zrika works on something which is possible, it doesn't work with something that's possible. Well, what shaychus does that have? Tosfos says, since you have half a carbon in and half a carbon out, so once the zrika works for this, it works for that too. And what's a migu? Migu works that, believe me, that I don't owe you the money because I could have said another time and would have been parted from paying you. Well, what does migu have to do here? And I'll tell you the other way around. You want to say migu? Migu that it doesn't work for what's outside, it doesn't work for what's inside. I'll use exactly the opposite. If you want to say that, the Shita Mukubetzis here, in Ois Yudalad, the Shita Mukubetzis actually says the other way around. He says, Loi toyu lachatzoyim. He says there's a concept that Zrika doesn't work part way. We could say the opposite, if you want to say any logic. You could say the opposite. You know, in Maseches Sukkah, we find also a funny migu. The Gemara there says that if you build a sukkah on sukkahs, where the walls that you need for a sukkah are much less stringent than you need for Shabbos. Right, sukkah, you can have two walls and the third wall a tefach. That's a sukkah. The Gemara says over there in Maseches Sukkah, Migu de Mahanya Doifin Linyan Sukkah Avi Doifin Linyan Shabbos. So during Shabbos, that sukkah is like a wall. Yeah, so over there, the Ran asks, what do you mean, say Migu the other way? Say Migu that it's not a wall for Shabbos. Why say Migu that it is a wall? Say Migu it's not a wall. Say, Shabbos, you need a full wall to be a wall, to be able to carry in there, to be considered enclosed. So let's say the other way around. Say migu that it's not a wall for Shabbos, it's not a wall for sukkah. Why are you telling me once it's a wall for sukkah, it's a wall for Shabbos? So the other Ran gives a solid posh at the svara. He says the Torah gave us a mitzvah of sukkahs for 7 days, okay, which includes Shabbos. So if the Torah said that this wall works, it means the Torah was saying that this wall works even on Shabbos of Sukkot. Has to be a Sukkah Ruyu L'Shiva. Then we're locked in. The Torah said this wall is good for Shabbos. But otherwise, Migu doesn't even come to play. What does Migu have to do over here? Migu that it works on this meat, it works on that meat. Where do we ever find by a korban that part of a korban that becomes pasul becomes kosher because there's a part of the korban that's kosher? There's no shaykhs. We don't find that anywhere in Kutchum. We don't find such a concept anywhere in Kutchum that this part is kosher now because that part is kosher. What's the shaykhs? So till now, if we're just going with the concept that Zrika works for something that's outside, fine. But now we're making it more complicated. Saying, really, Zrika doesn't work for what's outside. But if there's something inside, then the Zrika works for that. Once it works for that, it also works for what's outside. So the Karen Ayra here in the Mishnah, in the Sugya, he shvitzes on this. What is this migul? What is it? Now the Gemara goes on and it gets more complicated. Because the Gemara says like this. The Gemara wants to prove that this is not correct, that the Zrika will work even if everything went out. We want to say that the Zrika only works, part of it is in and part of it is out. The Gemara says, no, we'll prove to you that the Zrika works even if it's all out. Says the Gemara, Omale Rav Asi l'Rav Yochanan, the bottom line, Kvar li medune chaverai shebegoyla. I already was taught by my chaverim in the goyla that it's not that way. Mechashvin al ha'ovud v'al ha'sorof. You can even have a kavana on something which is burnt, okay, or lost. That means even if you have meat that's not even here, you can have a machshava on it. Machshava of pigul. You can have machshava, even though the meat is not here. V'ha'ovud v'sorof, he says, the ovud and sorof, there also you have to do the zrika works. Because we know pigul doesn't happen without zrika. So by us saying that you can have pigul on something which is lost or burnt, means that the zrika will work on it. So you see that zrika works even on something that's gone. So how could you tell me that the zrika only works on what's inside? And since there's something inside, it also goes on what's outside. Here you see zrika works on something which doesn't even exist. Other than sorof. That's the Gemara's kash. Mechashvin ala ovud v'asorof. V'ovud v'sorof loy isnu bo'ilam. It's not even in existence. V'afilu ochi ketoni mechashvin. And still we see that it works. So you see it does work even on ovud v'sorof. Now here the Gemara throws this out, but the logic behind it is very strange. How could you have kavana on something that's not here? Stop. What does that even mean? I have das what? To eat something that's not here? Shaloi bezmana? What does it even mean? How does it work? I have das to eat something that's not here, that's lost or burnt. I'm going to eat that shaloi bezmana. What is it? It's a meaningless statement. It doesn't even mean anything. So over here by us, many of the achronim ask this kasha. They don't understand what's going on. Tamua. This is the Karen Oil. Eich chola machshava bedover she'enoi ba'olam. It's not in the world. What are you thinking? Saying, I have in mind to eat something which doesn't exist. Shaloi bizmana. This is what does it even mean? Ve'hechi salkadaitich the mechashvin ala sorov she'enoi ba'olam klal. Doesn't make any sense. So if this is Zalman Meltzer, in the Sefer Eben Ha'ozel, Al Rambam, he's bothered with this kash. And he's machadish, a tremendous chiddush. He learns ovud and sorof here is not simple. Ovud means it's here, somewhere. So it's chal on it because it's somewhere. So even though you don't know where it is right now, but it exists. So you could have in mind something that's lost, you know, if I find it, I'll eat it shaloi bizmana. So it still could work. But then he comes to sorof. He says, maybe it's not totally burnt. It's a tremendous daichik. Tremendous daichik. But that's what the Evan Ozel says. He says to Evan Ozel, the ba'ovud machshava chala kivon the havi boila. He says, the oven is around somewhere, so machshava works. He says, ubisorof, Dr. Bissa Zalman, efshir lahamid she'enoi sorof kol kach. Maybe it's not completely burnt. Pella, Mama Shapella. Now the Chazon Ish, in Simon Yutes here in Kotchim, he's also bothered with this question. Now the reason why I'm focusing on this question is I think it will enlighten the whole sugya as to what is going on from beginning to end here. He says here like this. This Chazon Ish is at the end of Simon Yutes. He says as follows. Mechashvin ala omud ala oimed leibud v'sorof. He says, what's going on? It's ain't boilum. It's not here. Well, what are you thinking? So he comes and he says a fascinating point to Chazon Ish. He makes a proof from this sugya, even though this is a little sugya in Me'ilah, a couple of lines, that this changes the whole front of what Pigul is. Because until you come to our sugya, Pigul is a very practical avera. The Kohen comes, the Beis HaMikdash, he shechts a korban with a practical intent. I plan to now eat this korban. It's a korban supposed to be eaten for 1 day. I plan to eat it for 2 days. Okay, I'm supposed to spritz the blood one place. I'm going to spritz the blood someplace else. It's a practical. Till you come to our sugya, Pigul is practical. Comes the Chazon Ish, and he rewrites the whole sugya. He rewrites it, what Pigul is. He says, Pigul doesn't have to be a practical thing. And he says as follows. He says, Mikan nira lochiach. He says, from here we can prove. De ein tzorich sheyachshoiv sheyaktir lemochor bepoil. Chazon Ish proves from our sugya that Pigul is not what you would think it is. You learn every other sugya in Shas, you're going to say Pigul is a practical thing. I plan to go and do this tomorrow, and that's the problem. He says, no. If that's the case, you can't plan to eat something which was burnt already. You can't say, you know, I plan to eat the thing that got burnt yesterday. I'm going to eat it shaloi bizman. This doesn't work. He says, Ella. He says, Sheyehe avoida. The avoida is l'shanois b'mishpite akdusha. Really, the problem is not what you plan to do. The problem is that while you're shechting the korban, you're supposed to have the proper kavanah, just like mitzvah tzrichis kavanah. You're supposed to have a proper kavanah. And your kavanah has to be that I want to do what the Torah commanded to be done with this korban. By you saying, I want to eat the korban shaloi bizman, it's like somebody does a mitzvah and he has to ask, he doesn't want to be yotzei the mitzvah. It's not a practical thing. I plan to eat this tomorrow. That's a way of you expressing your lack of interest of doing the korban properly. So the pigul is a psul, not in what you're actually planning to accomplish, but the pigul is that you're missing now in your avoda tamima of bringing the korban. The korban has to be l'shem. So even if I'm a bala chaloimis, even if I'm dreaming that I could do something, it doesn't make a difference. I'm expressing the fact that I am shechting this korban, and I don't want to do what Hashem wants done with this korban. And that makes the korban pasul. That makes the korban pigul. That's the only way to learn the sugya. Because if it's a practical thing, if the problem is the practicality of it, it doesn't work. This is completely different than Reb Chatzkel Abramsky. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky has a whole opposite way of learning. Not our sugya, pigul. He learns pigul is a way that the way the Torah considers your machshava like a maisa. Mamish, the opposite of the Chazon Ish. Chatzkel Abramsky understands that when somebody has kavana to go and eat something shaloi bizmanai, it's ki'ilu he ate it shaloi bizmanai. You know, it's the Torah projects whatever your machshava is, it's machshava kemaisa. Okay? Chazon Ish is going the opposite. He's saying, pigul, the problem is not what you actually plan to actualize. The problem with pigul is that you're shechting a korban not to do what Hashem wants from this korban. The tzura of the shechita, or the tzura of the zrika. Why? What's wrong with the zrika? Because while I did the zrika, I had in mind to do something which Hashem doesn't want me to do. What? Could be anything. There's just different levels of psul. There's a psul of shaloi lishma. There's a psul called pigul. These are all, just like everybody agrees, what's the psul of shaloi lishma? Exactly like the Chazon Ish is saying. The psul of shaloi lishma is not that I plan to do something wrong. The psul of shaloi lishma is I'm missing in the right kavana I'm supposed to be having at the time of the korban. I'm supposed to be thinking this is a korban chatas. I'm supposed to be thinking it's for Reuven. And if I have in mind for Shimon, it's something missing in the korban. The Torah called it pigul. The Torah called this kavana, the Torah called it a machsheves pigul. It is different because what? This chorus has different consequences. This kind of machsheva has this consequence. This kind of machsheva has that consequence. But it's all related. It's all this type, and that's what the Chazon Ish concludes. Umiyu makazay shachoshev olav ba'olam v'choshev shalayaktiru l'mocha b'poyel. Right? He says like this. He says, however, he says, what would be if somebody had a kavanah, the kazayis is here in the world, right? And he had in mind a bad kavanah, but he had in mind that even though I'm having this bad kavanah, I plan to act, actually I'm not going to live up to my machshav. He says, that wouldn't be a problem, because then it's not a real machshav. It's not a real machshav. He says, he says, but in loy hoya kazayis ba'oilom, sagi b'machshava shechosav sheteya avoid al manas lahakti l'moch. And that's why the Gemara had a hava mina by us, that even if the meat is gone, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. Now this goes back to the, so that's really the shakl v'tai of our Gemara. The shakl v'tai of our Gemara is this point. Whether the machshava that you're having is on the meat, being chal on the meat, then the meat has to be here. Or the machshava really is you. You're having a machshava spigul. The meat is just a way of you expressing your negative intention. And that's what the Chaznish is validly proving from our sugi. Because really the only two choices is to go like the Evan Ozel, which is to say the meat is really here, it's not really burnt. That's a very big daichik to learn that way. Or we take the Chaznish approach, which is basically saying that we're not focusing on the meat. Focusing on you. Pigul means you're having a negative intent. Happens to be the negative intent is about what you plan to do with the meat. But that's not the issue. The issue is you're not, and therefore even if it'll never come to conclusion and never can come to conclusion, there's still a problem. Now if we rewind back into the sugya, we'll just finish off the Gemara and we'll see everything is clear. The Gemara now concludes. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, Aboy mine ravasi me rav yechanan, chishev l'nishpochim l'mochar mau. Now we're going to prove that you do have to have kavanah on something which is here. Because if you have kavanah on something which is going to be poured down the mizbeach, what's the halacha? Omalei Rav Zeira, kvar shenisalon olo. We already learned olo. Olo is a non-tangible part of the behemah. It's not makabel tumah because there's nothing to be chal on. It's the same thing over here. If there's nothing to be chal on, something which is just being poured down the mizbeach is not called part of the korban. Alma hay olo, kivan delesbe mishosha, since it's not here, like kibel tumah. Hani nishpochem kivan deli ibrazli, less behu machshav, or machshav aloi mahani behu. So what does it mean, ala elo diktoni ala ovid ala sarf kasha? Omarova, ala oimid li ibud vala oimid li sarf. It doesn't mean it was actually burnt. Okay? That's the Gemara. Now the Gemara concludes, Amarav Papa. Loi amar Rabbi Akiva zrika mayelas li yotse elo shayotse bosa. When does Rabbi Akiva say zrika works? That's if the meat went out. Avo yotse dom. But if the blood left, then the mila won't work. Tanya nami hochi, because then the blood is possible. Tanya nami hochi, shochat pishtika v'yotza dam, if you shecht it properly, but then the blood went out, afa pisha choza v'zorka, even though it came back in, and you spritzed it liyosa klum, because the blood became possible. Because she gadoshim moyalim boy, because she kalim ain moyalim boy. It won't, if bekitzer, then it becomes possible. I think what we're going to have to do is we'll chazer over now where we're at, but we'll have to come to conclusion next week because it's still, we have to tie everything together. But at least we'll have closure on where we're holding now. Right now, we're leaving the sugi with several problems. Problem number one, we're leaving the sugi with a problem that we don't exactly understand Rabbi Akiva's analogy to the two chatois. The two chatois, l'chair, is a case where chatas A is a real chatas, and chatas B becomes a moiser chatas. And if there's not going to be me'ilah on chatas B, it's not going to be because the zrik of chatas A removed the me'ilah from chatas B, it's going to be because chatas B turned into a moiser chatas, which is Rish Lakish's time, at the end of the Gemara, the way we're learning Rish Lakish's time. Has nothing to do with me'ilah. And we really didn't answer it yet. We just saw in Rashi that somehow Rabbi Akiva makes this into a chalant, he says it becomes one carbon, but it's very unclear. Because it's clearly not the halacha. What would be if somebody, after he shechted both korbanos, said, you know what, I want to be makriv both. I want to makriv the emurim of both. I want to spritz the blood of both. So you can't do that. So it's not like it becomes one korban. It doesn't. Still, only one is kosher and the other one is not kosher. So our main problem is to understand Rabbi Akiva's thinking. What's Rabbi Akiva's thinking? Why does he hold it as a shechet? That's problem A. Our second problem is that why would there be a difference between if part of the behemoth is in the Beis HaMikdash, part of the behemoth is out of the Beis HaMikdash? My nafkamin. Either the Zrika works on Yotzei or it doesn't work on Yotzei. How does this Migu connect from these two places? That's our second problem in the sugya. Third problem here is to understand in the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara seems to conclude that there's a difference between Dam and the Basar. L'chayre, in both cases, you're dealing with the same problem. The problem is that there's a Psul Yotzei. So if you're going to tell me that it doesn't matter, like Rav Gittel, we had Rav Gittel earlier, whether Zrikas Pigel, you can tell me, that's fine. But once you're telling me that a Psul Yotzei doesn't affect the dinim of Me'ilah, why should it make a difference if the blood is Pasul B'Yotzei or the Basar is Pasul B'Yotzei? L'chayr, it should be the same thing. If you're going to tell me that Yotzei, that even on things that are Pasul, the Me'ilah status could still go up and down, what's the difference? Should be just like we said by Zrikas Pigel. Zrikas Pigel, we said the same thing. Even though it's a Pasul Zrika, it could affect the Me'ilah coming or going. So, Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll come back. I was just asked the Olam to, we added some Ma'ar Makoymas, if the Olam could just go through them before next week and we'll come to a conclusion.